y'all went and looked at Christmas lights yet this year? Anybody? Went out last night? All right. We went out to McAdenville last night. We got a little bit of a late start. And we made it out there. And the traffic, I thought on a Tuesday night, was pretty good. And we kept going and we kept going. And then we realized they were running us all around town to get us into that place. And by the time we realized that we were in line, and right when we start and pull into the McAdenville, they shut and start shutting all the lights off on the trees. And we looked online and it said 9:30. And so I don't know if we'll make it out there again. I'm trying not to be bitter. 9:30. But you know, one thing I noticed in a lot of those yards, I really appreciate, a lot of them have a testimony for the Lord. A lot of them just had something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and a lot of the creche or manger scenes. I don't know if you've seen those around, probably this time of year. But I don't know if you realize this or not, but when we look at that, for us, it's almost just an icon. Just the same as you would see a Nike symbol somewhere, or some other famous icon that we see in our society. We see that, and it's almost just a symbol. And in a sense, it is. It represents Christmas. But have you ever thought about what the manger scene is? Do you realize that that is the result of prophecy? Somebody once said, "Is prophecy is just history yet in the future." And really, it is. We talked Sunday about prophecy. We'll talk about that same verse for just a little bit tonight. But I want to look at a couple of prophecies that were fulfilled with the coming of Jesus Christ. One of them was kind of a broader idea, but turn your Bibles to Isaiah 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49:6 says, "Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things." Where am I at? I'm at 48:6. I said, this is not familiar to me at all. I don't like when I do that, but I do it way too often. And he said, It is a light thing that we shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." I'll tell you, for those of us that are not Jews, that are not Jewish by lineage or nature, all right, that should be a great comfort. So when you think about thousands of years later, not just when Jesus Christ was born, or not thousands, excuse me, probably about 700 or 800 years later, Christ was born, and then 50 to 80 years after that, when Paul is going through and Paul makes him a light, that was a plan from the very beginning. It wasn't just as though the Jews had just decided to reject the gospel and now Paul was going to go and start preaching to the Gentiles. It was God's plan all along that the Messiah would be a light to the world. It brings a little bit more clarification, or a little bit more, excuse the pun, illumination to the phrase that Jesus says, "I am the what? I am the light of the world." What was he saying? In essence, he was saying, I am fulfilling the prophecy that God had given in Isaiah. You know what's unique about that also is that Christianity, in a sense, is one of the first religions to ever reach out to the rest of the world to break down the borders. I mean, when you think about any other religion that had been around, Christianity was the first one that says, we're going to cross cultural lines to share truth that we have. Missions is the heartbeat of God. I don't know if you realize that or not. We think about, I mean, you can list any other false religion or even things that have been around for ages. I think probably the only religion would have been humanism. And that's been around since Satan's been around. Okay? But as far as Christianity is concerned, God said in Isaiah that Jesus Christ that the Messiah is going to be that light. This is a messianic prophecy, I believe. And Jesus Christ perfectly fulfills that, and then he continues with the plan into what we call the age of grace, or this dispensation. So let me ask you this. As we think about the coming of the Messiah, and we've talked a lot about, listen, Jesus did not come just to be in that manger, right? He's come for Calvary. But the only way to get to Calvary is to come through Bethlehem, right? He had to come in the form of man. So as we think about that, and if we say that truly the whole purpose of Christmas is Easter, and we think about Jesus Christ being the light of the world, didn't he tell us to let our light so shine? So as we think about the Messiah bringing the salvation available to the entire world, I want you to think about that as just like the sun. You know, the sun radiates and it just illuminates anything that it touches. But in a sense, he's put each one of us in a sphere. And while we might be a candle, we might be a 100-watt bulb, you know, you might be a halogen bulb or something like that. I hope you're not one of those new fluorescent compact things, all right? It's supposed to last 5 years and they go out in a year. Don't do that. But God has put you in a position of influence in somebody's life. Are you using that influence for Christ? If Christ is the light of the world, and he is, and he's told us to be a light, let us be obedient this Christmas. You know, we see all the lights. We see the Christmas decorations. Let that be a reminder and a motivation as Christians to be sure to share the gospel. So God's salvation would reach to the ends of the earth. We talked at some length. I'm not going to great depth tonight, but Isaiah gave what I believe a dual prophecy, or really was a type in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 7:14. You can go back there. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel. Now, we said that the prophecy was fulfilled not long after Isaiah gave this. By the way, what would have happened to Isaiah if that prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled? He would have been killed. That's one of the reasons, and I really didn't bring it up on Sunday, but that's one of the reasons why I believe there's a dual aspect to this. Immediately, there had to have been something that happened. Otherwise, he would have been labeled as not God's man, and they would have had the right to kill him. So that's why I believe that there was a child born of a young lady. However, Matthew makes it very clear in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 of the Gospel of Matthew, that says clearly that Mary is fulfilling this, being born of a virgin, a woman that's never come together with a man. And so it was exciting revelation, if you will, for even the Jewish people. I think for Paul, that would have been a great thing that he would have been sharing and teaching. And now when we look back, we say, listen, God is so powerful that he can fulfill a prophecy and use it as a type in the New Testament. What do we say Sunday? What is always a more impressive and more powerful, the type or the anti-type? The anti-type, the fulfillment. And so Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. As I have been reading even more this week, I am reminded of the constant attack that the virgin birth has on it as far as beliefs. You know, early on in the fundamental movement, the virgin birth is one of the five fundamentals that they said, you know what, we've got to stake our ground right here. We've got to believe this is true. Anyone that's not born of a virgin is just carrying Adam's sin forward. Could not have been the perfect Lamb of God. He could not have been the sacrifice that we needed for the propitiation of our sin. Do you understand that? It had to be a virgin birth. And if you stumble over that, and I don't understand how people can go to these liberal theological places of instruction. I don't even like to call them higher learning, because whatever they're learning is not higher, okay? But what happens is, they would spend their life picking apart all of the supernatural things of the Bible. Can I tell you that this is a supernatural book with a supernatural God, and supernatural things happen, all right? And so to sit there and say, well, it doesn't cooperate with science, well, then you must serve a God that is above science. Everything does not have to reconcile itself to your understanding of the universe. And so as we think about Isaiah coming and giving this dual prophecy, I call it a dual prophecy. I believe it's a fulfilled prophecy in a type, really, that the Lord fulfills in Matthew. What a comfort it should give to all of us to know that we don't serve a God that's in a box, that He is not constrained by the physical laws of the universe. I'm thankful He put those laws in place, all right? Can you imagine from day to day, you didn't know if gravity was going to work this way or whatever, you know, and there'd be, but God is a God of order, and He set the laws of physics into place for us, but that does not mean He's bound Himself by those laws. I think one of the prophecies that was given in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, I believe this prophecy is very powerful in this regard. It eliminates every other possible city in the world for the Messiah to come through. Now you think about that. Can you get any more specific? Now, the honest truth is, if you wanted to, you could try to fulfill many of the messianic prophecies of your own accord. But there's no way you get to decide where you're born. That is up to God. And isn't it interesting, as you look through history, how that just at the right time, Caesar Augustus decides to put out a census. Had he done it 6 months earlier, Mary would not have been in Bethlehem at that time. Had he done it 6 months later, then he would not have been born in. And so you understand that through the course of time that God in His providence is working everything out so that it's going to happen exactly as He said it would. I hope tonight that as we look at prophecy and we just think about Jesus Christ fulfilling these prophecies, it gives you encouragement in your faith. Because I'll tell you what, I don't believe any stronger testimony of God's power than fulfilled prophecy. How can somebody say hundreds of years before somebody's born, not only, did you realize there's two Bethlehems? I don't know if you knew that or not. And so, just to make sure that there's no, he look at Micah 5:2. See what it says. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah. That is narrowing it down. That gets it so you can't even say, well, I was born in one of the Bethlehems. No, it had to be this Bethlehem. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Throughout the span of the last 28 centuries, 27 centuries, from the days of the prophet Micah up through the present time, Bethlehem is credited as being the birthplace for only one person who is widely known throughout the world. No one else came from there that we know of today. But there is a man by the name of Jesus Christ who was born there. By the way, the New Testament books of Matthew and Luke list Bethlehem as the birthplace of Jesus, and Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 6 describes the birth of Jesus as the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy. In the Talmud, it says, the King Messiah, from where does he come forth? From the royal city of Bethlehem in Judah. That's what the Jews are looking for. I think they found him, if they would open their eyes. All right, a fourth prophecy that I want to give you, that he would be from the line of Abraham. He's going to be, the Messiah had to come from the line of Abraham. Genesis 22:18 says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." When we look in the book of Matthew, in the genealogy, which refers to him as the son of David, the son of Abraham, it's not by accident. He is making the direct link, letting the world know that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, over and over and over and over again, you can see the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The truth of the matter is, I think we as Christians oftentimes spend so much time in the New Testament, we don't realize how powerful the Old Testament is in helping to win people to Christ. Not only was he to be of Abraham's seed, he was going to be of a descendant of Jacob. Numbers 24:17 says, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." I believe, again, that that is a messianic reference there. And the genealogy of Jesus laid out in the book of Matthew details, as I said before, Jesus' lineage, not only through Abraham, but through Isaac, and ultimately through Jacob. Now, why is that important? Why is that important? Well, I'll tell you, in our times it's important because there's a whole other religion that came out of Abraham. One that says that Jesus is nothing more than a prophet. And their prophet is the one that is giving truth. You understand? But when we look and compare to what God had said hundreds of years, I don't know that much about the Islamic religion, but I don't know any other religion, if I could put it that way, that has prophecy that has been answered and fulfilled like Christianity. The God of the Bible is the living God, and he is the powerful God. You understand? The Bible tells us that Christ was going to be called out of Egypt. We believe that in Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." And I realize there's a dual reference there. I believe certainly it could be talking about the children of Israel coming out, but I think again there's a messianic hint to that. Matthew 2:13 is believed to explain this prophecy. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Let me just give you one or two more. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I just want to give you some information tonight. I believe that Christ's birth and his story is a fulfillment of Jeremiah 31:15. "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Raphael weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." I believe this prophecy is repeated in the book of Matthew, which says that King Herod sought to kill Jesus. What happens when he couldn't find him, when the wise men did not come back and report to him? I think he did some math about the time that they said he was going to be there, and he sent somebody to kill everyone that was two and under. Every boy that was two and under. Matthew 2:16 says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." That's just, I don't know, I didn't even count, four or five different prophecies that Jesus perfectly fulfilled. I've read somewhere that there's over 300. This is just mostly having to do with his birth and really his early childhood. But can you imagine one person fulfilling all those different prophecies over the span of just 33 years? We think it's neat when all the planets get aligned, you know, once every 276 years. I don't know what it is. Don't come back and tell me I got the wrong year. But it won't be in our lifetime when it happens, right? But if it did happen, you'd say, man, that's an amazing thing. How could that happen? But I'm telling you, all the stars in the universe would have to be lined up in order for one person to be able to accomplish what Jesus Christ did by fulfilling those prophecies. It's in Christianity, it takes faith. There's no doubt about that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But I'll tell you this, Christianity is not a blind faith. It is a reasoned faith that says, listen, I can believe what God has said because he has shown me time and time and time again that he is trustworthy. Not only does he fulfill his promises, but let me tell you, the prophecy was a future promise at one point before it was fulfilled. He's given us promises that have not come true. That's not to say he's broken those promises. That just tells me they're going to happen at a later time. There's a day when Jesus Christ is coming back again. There's a day when we will spend eternity in heaven with God if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so as we think about just four or five prophecies, things that God said were going to happen, and hundreds of years later did happen. Sometimes I try to put that in perspective because Christians, you hear about that all the time, and we say, of course God fulfilled prophecy. But what if somebody came in and they said, listen, in the year 2330, our president is going to be born in, and they gave a place, in Tucson. You'd say, well, that's crazy. Nobody could know that. Well, I agree with you. Nobody but God. So as God looked down and he said, 400 or 500 years, the Messiah will be born here. This is how he's going to be born. This is why he's going to be born. Then I can tell you, we can believe what God has said in the rest of the Bible. We don't have to doubt. And so at Christmas time, as we think about the coming of the babe, and we think about the reason that he came, let us be strengthened in our faith, knowing that God up in heaven. He's still all powerful. He's still in control. And he's still to be trusted. But he's still given us a mission. Let's be faithful to obey him. And I believe that if we'll keep those things in mind, we will have more than a Merry Christmas. We'll have a joyful time together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for fulfilled prophecy. How that, honestly, Lord, we could spend the rest of the evening just going over the different prophecies that the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled. I thank you for just the assuredness that it can give to us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. I pray now, Lord, that as we have a time of prayer together and just have a time of fellowship together,